We just went down 1,000 points. We are down 1,031 points. There will be circuit breakers that kick in very soon. If we should drop more than 7%, it's as if the stock exchange takes a timeout and everyone has to take a breather, because a lot of this is overselling. The best way to look at this is by your age. If you're 60 or older, 50 or older, or 40 or over, what do? You just heard Rebecca say, in most cases, because I'm talking about 401ks, my 401k, like yours, is falling right now. I'm in my 40s. I can sit. I can wait. I don't have to sell. Even if you're in your 50s, you can sit. You can wait. You don't want to sell. If you're 60 or over, you want to make a phone call to whoever advises you with money and discuss, how am I positioned at this point? Today's not the day to sell, because when you're down 1,000 points or 6%, you get hit hard. But you really, at 60 and over, you need to be much more conscious of where you're allocating your assets. And if you had a good advisor, you were probably anticipating some kind of pullback, and you're not going to get stung as badly as those of us who are going to sit this out.
We go from selling to buying, Adam. A lot of people might be looking at this opportunity to say, hey, you know, there's some stocks out there that might be, you know, cheaper than in this fire sale, if you will.
Yeah. I'm going to give you an example of some of that, but I'm very careful to point out that my advice is never good advice. I do index funds because I'm not smarter than Warren Buffett or many of the people who work on Wall Street. But I'm going to talk about Disney. Everyone knows Walt Disney. That stock was trading at $122 a share just 3 weeks ago. Today it's trading at $93 a share. Now look at Disney. Why is it falling? Partially because it's getting pulled down with every other stock. Partially because people are worried about what happens with ESPN as everyone cuts the cord to their cable TV. But Disney owns Star Wars. Disney has future growth in its horizons. So do you think Disney is a buy at $93 when it was at $122 not too long ago? That would be the time you might jump in for an individual stock. That's a hypothetical, though. You should not take my advice. You should talk to your wife, your husband, or your financial advisor.
Tell us, you mentioned a circuit breaker. How low do we go before that circuit breaker kicks in again?
7%. The first circuit breaker would kick in, let's see, the first halt would come in at 7%. We would have to have fallen roughly, we have a whole write-up on this, a little over 1,100 points for that to happen. And it would give us a timeout of 15 minutes, so that part of this is also the computers. When certain levels are hit in on the Dow or on the S&P, computers trigger sell and buy orders. So what the circuit breakers do is they stop that computer trading, which can amplify a downturn when it's not really as bad as it might seem.
So it takes a 15-minute break, and then it allows you to buy
Everyone
again.
Takes a breather, and then you come back in. No, sometimes after a circuit breaker hits, you start selling again. But when you see this kind of selling, this kind of rush to get out, that tells you people are worried. Panic is a word you might use. But again, this is not, you know, 1987 is a great example of this. We were down 500-plus points, but it was a quarter of the market's value. Today, as I look at the big board right now, we're down 909 points, and it's 5% of the value. So, again, the way I like to do this, if I were talking to my mom in South Florida, you know, she's 70. I'm not going to tell you her age. She'd get very angry at me. But I would tell her that, you know, we got you out of stock investments precisely because you don't want to be riding these kinds of roller coasters. If I were talking to a cousin of mine who's in his 60s, I'd be saying, have you positioned yourself so that you don't have as much exposure to stocks as you do, say, to fixed income investments? And then to my brother, who is in his 50s and is a Stanford grad and an MBA, he won't listen to me, so I won't talk to him. But then to someone in their 40s, I would say, there's nothing you and I can do except sit and wait this out, because chances are we're going to do much better in the long run.
Adam, have you ever seen the market? Have you ever seen the Dow down 1,000 points?
I've never seen it fall 1,000 points since I've been working at Fox, but we did have the big sell-offs, you know, during the Great Recession. But I haven't seen, and we're only down 913. I can't believe I just said,
yeah, I know, really,
913 points. But we should, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk on Fox Business, and I encourage people who want to find out what's going on to tune into Fox Business if you can when you're not listening to radio. But we're 401k investors. There are people who are investing in individual stocks, and you are smart, intelligent people. But for the majority of people who are listening right now, we're in mutual funds or we're in index funds. And, you know, Warren Buffett, don't listen to me, listen to Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett has said it best, that people like us, little guys, men and women in index funds do much better in the long term than some of these hedge funds. Most hedge funds, you know, really don't outperform index funds. So, again, look at it in your 40s, You want to stay in, and you want to be in an index fund like there's the Fidelity Spartan 500, the Vanguard Index 500, very low fees, and they mimic the S&P 500. There are index funds that follow the Russell 2000, the small cap index. So there are ways to protect yourself when you have a long-term horizon. If you play the game of investing in individual stocks, what you're saying is I'm smarter than Warren Buffett, or I'm smarter than some of these hedge fund guys like Bill Ackman. And if you are, congratulations, because you're going to be a very wealthy person. The rest of us got to sit and ride this out.
I know you're so busy today with all this going on. Adam, do you have another minute or do you need
Yeah, I've got time.
Oh, thank you. Hold on just a second. We have an emergency traffic situation at 7:39.
Salt Lake City.
Breaking news. If you're just joining us this morning, the markets are really having a difficult time. The Dow right now is down 784 points, 4.76%. Adam Shapiro is on the line with us from Fox Business, helping us to understand. Can we blame this entirely on China? And if so, is there anything we can do in response, Adam?
First question, can you blame this on China? Yes, but you've got to include in that our Federal Reserve, our monetary policy as well. The reason the stock market has been so high is they've inflated, the Federal Reserve has made it cheap to borrow money so that they would drive stock prices high. So, and China did the same thing. The whole world has been doing that. So the China sell-off is a couple of things. It's the reckoning of easy credit can no longer be that easy. Second, it's their economy slowing down. And you see that reflected in the drop in commodities. I mean, oil right now is trading at $37.88 a barrel. So we fell below 40 bucks. People are really worried about a global slowdown. Now about us. Of the S&P 500 companies, I think it's there was an analysis that was written and cited in Bloomberg that pointed out that less than 4% of revenue for S&P 500 companies actually originates in China. So you know, many companies in the United States don't even look to China for growth. Companies like Apple do, and Apple is down today, but 16% of their revenue comes from China. But the vast majority of companies in the United States are not even connected. So that's one of the reasons you'll hear people say this is a sell-off that is oversold.
And where do we go, Adam, as far as the interest rate hike that we've been talking about all summer long? I mean, how does that play into all this that's going on today?
If you're looking to buy a house or refinance, boy, are you know, I hate to say this, but this is your lucky day. Right now, U.S. Treasuries are, and let me pop this on the computer, U.S. Treasuries are skyrocketing and people trying to get safety. And the yield is below 2%, which means on the 10-year, it's below 2%. Mortgage rates are going to come down a bit. This is going to be a great opportunity in the next week or two to either lock in a mortgage or refinance a mortgage. But you know, the Fed, you would think the Fed might look at this and say, you know what, we're not going to raise the quarter of a percent, or as they say in economic terms, 25 basis points. But they're looking at employment. They don't. The Fed is on constant volume, you might think. They look at a day like this and they don't hiccup at all. They just very calmly say, well, this is a one-day thing or this is a one-off. They look at the overall growth of the economy, and remember, the stock market is not reflective necessarily of the economy, and they look at employment. If we go through this volatility, which is going to continue, it's not going to be just today, it's going to be for the rest of August and probably the beginning of September. If they look at this, but they see that the economy continues to chug along even at a slow growth pace, with employment chugging along, they very well could still raise interest rates mid-September.
When you look at this, you say that it's going to continue through the rest of August and into September. So what does that say then to the person who is getting ready to retire?
The person getting ready to retire, actually, you want to start, you're out of the market. If you were set up correctly, you're not exposed as greatly to this swing if you're getting ready to retire. Again, that age of 60, and I'm talking generically here, but that's a great moment when you turn 60 to sit down with a financial advisor, if you've got one, to say, okay, here's where the retirement accounts are located. Where do we position these so that in 5 years, as I start to wind down, and I do wind down, I don't expose myself to this kind of swing. If you haven't had that discussion and you're 65 right now, I would call a financial advisor, but the last thing you want to do is sell on a day like today because you're going to get burned greater than if you hold on a bit.
So who knows where in the world we're going to finish this day? I mean, it's a long 8 hours we still have, or even seven to go.
And we recovered a bit. We were down 1,030 points at one point, and now it's down 552 points. This is what you're going to see over the next couple of days is the computers going crazy and back and forth sell and buy orders, and this just has to play out. But the market will eventually realize, you know what, our exposure to China is real, but it's not horrific. Our exposure there isn't going to crash us. And the world is going to be flocking here for safety, not only in our bonds, but they might even look at some of our equities, because you're going to have slow growth right now, if any growth, in emerging markets. And we're still the largest economy on the planet.
It's not correct to use the word crash, is it, Adam?
No. No, I would not use that word. I mean, there will be people who refer to it as that, but no. No, it's we're in correction. I mean, when the Dow Jones Industrial Average corrects off its high more than 10%, you've got a correction underway. But that's, as you talked about earlier, is a buying opportunity. But crash, you know, these are words that you might see in the press, because people like hyperbole and shock value. But no, crash, no. Is this a very dramatic pullback? Yeah. You might see someone refer to the 1,000 plus points we were off at the very beginning as a crash, but now we're down 573 points.
And that feels better. Adam, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time and expertise.